Hello, I'm Ruth Murray and welcome to Chatterbox, the Norwich Talking newspaper. This is edition number 2243, recorded on Thursday the 12th of October 2023. First off, a note from our office. We're aware that some of you have been receiving your wallets a little late. Whilst we are not able to do anything about the postal service, we don't want you to feel under any pressure to return your memory stick quickly. Listen to everything, and if it takes a little longer, that's not a problem. Return it to us when you're ready. So, Robin Quine is here with me, and together we will bring you local news stories, topical letters, and a feature about the history of St Stephen Street. The next part of Chatterbox will continue with more news stories, information desk, and a second feature on the ghost of Elm Hill. At the end of this recording is the latest issue of Just Talk.
Hello, Alison Aplin here. Immediately after this week's Chatterbox, you can hear the October edition of Just Talk. As always, we have a varied bag of treats for you. The usual favourites, Gal Tina and Harumphing Henry. Neil Haverson with Tales from Shady Pines, as well as some musical interludes, some Norfolk proverbs, tales from our volunteers, and, of course, the dreaded quiz. So don't forget to stay tuned after this week's edition of Chatterbox.
Thank you, Alison. Now let's begin with our first batch of news stories. The city centre tops the highest overall crime rate statistics across Norfolk. A drab neighbourhood is given a lick of paint, and roadworks on the edge of the city are branded a waste of time and money. Where people are most at risk of falling victim to crime has been revealed by a list of Norfolk's most dangerous neighbourhoods. Great Yarmouth had the highest overall crime rate in the county in 2022, with 106 crimes per 1,000 people. King's Lynn and Norwich are next most dangerous, according to data provided by crimerate.co.uk. Perhaps unsurprisingly, given that it takes in much of the city centre and nightlife district, City Centre East in Norwich has the highest overall crime rate in the county, 2,956 offences in 2022. 435 per 1,000 inhabitants. Next most dangerous is equally busy neighbouring City Centre West, 4,279 offences, 386 per 1,000 people. However, outside of Norwich's City Centre, the areas with three neighbourhoods with the highest crime rates are all in Great Yarmouth.
One feathered criminal has been nicked by police in Norwich city centre. A swan was spotted wandering the city streets in the early hours before it was picked up by officers in Castle Meadow. The bird was seen swanning up Burr Street and was taken to Whitlingham Lake, where it was happily joined some feather friends. It was important that the prized bird was taken to safety away from busy traffic, as wild, unmarked mute swans belong to the Crown.
Norfolk Police has placed an immobilisation device on a vehicle, preventing it from moving after stopping it on the A47 and discovering a catalogue of faults. Norfolk and Suffolk Roads and Armed Policing Team stopped a vehicle on the A47 near Norwich that had a failed MOT from July. The driver was reported and there is now prohibition in place, with 14 defects found with the vehicle.
A city estate is looking much brighter after a community group painted a mural dedicated to the tiny critters which are found in the area. Alison McClagish has lived in Mile Cross all her life and is part of a community group, MXPEG, and its subgroup, Green Hearts. The group looks to spruce up the various communal spaces around Mile Cross with flower planting, litter picking, and more recently, painting. Alison, 39, wanted to add a bit of colour to the area and started with a dreary-looking telecom box in an alley nicknamed Hedgehog Alley, between Bignold Road and Leafroy Road. After getting permission from Outreach, who owns the box, Alison and her friend Chrissy Brightmore got to work. We finished it this week and I'm really pleased with how it's turned out. The best thing about it is the people reacting to it. The reaction from everyone has been really positive. The project has prompted Alison to cover more of Mile Cross in colour. She added, "Mile Cross gets a bad rap, but I love it, and hopefully this will teach people to respect where they live. If everywhere could do this, something like this, the city would look a lot nicer."
The crisis hit UEA has confirmed it will not have to make any compulsory redundancies after all. The University of East Anglia needed to save £30 million this year and £45 million over the next three amid severe financial struggles. It had been feared that to do this it would have to make compulsory redundancies, although bosses insisted this was always a last resort. But now, bosses have confirmed this last resort will not be needed to make the necessary savings. Instead, the savings have been made through a number of alternative means, including removing vacant posts, voluntary redundancies, and voluntary severances. Meanwhile, the university has also brought forward a pay award to staff to December this year, having previously deferred it until January. David Maguire, its new Vice-Chancellor, said, "UEA has turned a corner. Our student recruitment this year has been successful, and we've been delighted to welcome our new and returning students to campus. Work to develop the university's new vision and strategy is well underway, and we are very positive about the future."
Roadworks, making a junction with one of the city's busiest roads dangerous, have seen the County Council blasted for wasting time and money. Works are being carried out at the Richmond Road junction with Durham Road in Cossey. The scheme, which is the responsibility of Norfolk County Council's highways team, is focused on improving high levels of walking and cycling in the area by widening the pavements, narrowing the road and enforcing a left turn only rule. "The changes will surely increase the risk to those on foot," said Steve, a homeowner living nearby who asked for his surname not to be used. "There are issues with how narrow the road is and the layout. The path on the left-hand side has been made excessively wide and is forcing dangers rather than alleviating them. Cars need space to turn, and those turning into Richmond Road from Longwater will have to jut out across incoming traffic. They have also removed any free space for movement that may be required for a vehicle to avoid a collision. Quite frankly, it's all been a waste of time and taxpayers' money." Cossey District and Town Councillor Gary Blundell is split on the scheme. "It's a difficult one," he said. "I have spoken with the County Council officers and they told me it has been done purposefully to slow vehicles down. They say a wide junction encourages drivers to speed when turning. I can see why the council are doing it, and I hope that once it's complete, the road will be safer for pedestrians and cyclists. But I can also understand why residents are unhappy about it." A county council spokesman confirmed the scheme had undergone a full safety audit, saying the junction enters a 20 mile per hour zone with a raised table crossing and has been deliberately narrowed to slow vehicles entering Richmond Road in line with similar road safety schemes carried out across the county.
Plans have been revealed for a new electric substation and 12 ultra-rapid vehicle charging points outside a row of city shops. Osprey Charging Network has submitted the proposals for numbers 78 to 96 Coleman Road, where a parade of businesses includes Domino's and Papa John's. The project would see an empty news kiosk demolished, to make space for the substation, 12 new charging bays and 6 new parking spaces. Osprey claims the development would support Norwich City Council's ambitions to encourage greater use of electric vehicles and introduce new charging infrastructure through the Transport for Norwich strategy. Application documents submitted to the authority add, "Our proposal will serve as a vital new piece of infrastructure for both locals and for visitors. Further, it will serve to increase footfall at the local shops. The chargers and associated infrastructure are limited to 2 metres in height and will renew an area of currently unused land. To minimise disruption to the site, both during construction and once operational, the charging points and infrastructure have been grouped together at one end of the site."